Carol have founded ARC, which is Apostolic, doggone it, Australian Apostolic Restore Community. It says a lot. It's a beautiful term. I just love the word ARC, even though it's spelled with two A's in this case. But the Lord has raised up Bruce and Cheryl. They've been here in the house before quite some time ago, but God has raised them up to be a father and mother to the body of Christ right around Australia, and in fact right around the globe. And they are quietly and humbly serving in an apostolic and prophetic manner for many, many individuals through relationships that God provides them, and sharing the download of heaven wherever the Lord affords them an opportunity. And it's a privilege and an honor to have them both with us this morning. And will you welcome Bruce to the front this morning, guys? Can we stand and honor him? Thank you.
Praise God, praise God. Good morning. I was praying for you this morning on the way here, and I had a vision, and I believe it's from the Lord, and it's for you. It's either that or it's my breakfast, recurring. No, it's not. It's from the Lord. I just want you to close your eyes for a moment, because I actually saw very rich soil, very red, rich soil. And I heard the words, "This is a fertile place." And I felt the Lord say that this is a place I actually saw. It was like a rich place of germination, a place of life coming forth. And I saw life growing, even like a, if you want to change analogies, like a womb with life coming forth. But I also saw acceleration. And I heard the Lord say that this is not only a fertile place where things are conceived and birthed, but it's a place where people grow. And not only will people grow and you grow up, but also destinies will begin to grow and be fulfilled and go out from this place. So, Lord, I ask right now for a quickening on hearts. Lord, I ask even for an acceleration in people's, the very depths of their soul, the call of God, the destiny of God over each person here. And, Lord, I speak life. I speak increase. I speak fruitfulness. And I see, even as I'm decreeing over you, I'm seeing fruit growing quickly. And I hear the Lord saying, but it's not for you to eat. It's for you to give away. And so, Lord, I'd also decree that this place would not be just a place where it is fertile and grows and things are strong, but it would be a sending center. It would be a place where people would go out from. And destinies would then be, Lord, reproduced around this nation and nations. And so, Father, I thank you for this place. So it's more than a church. I hope you see that. It's in your spirit now. It's more than a church. That this place is a fertile place. It's a place where life is birthed and life is given and multiplied. And so, Father, I ask that you'd explode that into people's hearts even now in Jesus' name. This is my prophet. She's very profitable. Her name is Cheryl.
I just wanted to run off the back of that, and you may have heard most of this before, but I felt it was important to re-establish it. Your flame tree, and I'm sure you know that you're just like that tree planted by the streams of living water in Psalm 1. That's who you are, and yet I saw that you are a flame, and you have DNA, the revival of DNA in you. And I feel like the Lord says you've got to fan that flame, because that revival, many of you were birthed in revival, and the Lord has positioned you here, and it's for revival, but it's a particularly, I believe, for the children's revival to come. And I felt the Lord say you must facilitate the children's revival. There's a children's revival on the way, and many of you here have felt revival, and you know what it is. And the Lord says, facilitate the children's revival that's about to break forth. And the other thing that I saw was that the roots of this tree, of course, go down into the living waters, because you're planted by the waters. But the funny thing I saw was I saw the roots begin to dance in the water. And again, the message of joy that's coming through in the house. But the Lord said it was really important, because the other thing that I saw was I kind of saw these little snakes kind of scurry across the floor. And I felt like that as you danced, you just danced on them. You danced on their heads, and it was just like they weren't a problem. They were never going to be a problem as long as the joy stayed in the house, as long as you just kept on dancing and released that joy. So that's for this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, honey. I also want to honour the fathers and the mothers in this place. I especially honour you, Papa, man of God. God bless you. Pastor Gerald, God bless you. Mrs. Rollins, God bless you. I also honour this Papa here too. And you have a wonderful father and mother in this house. I love you. I honour you. And actually, I sense that there are many of you here. And you're coming forth. And it's not just to be good members of this body, but it's also to father and mother the generations. Everyone say generations. There's a next generation anointing on this place. It's on this ministry. Can you receive that? They're not words from Bruce. I believe they're words from the Lord. Now, I know you're supposed to have the altar call at the end. I was sitting all through worship. My hands have been burning this morning, and they still are. And it's one of the things that happens to me when a healing anointing is evident and present in this place, but it's not just on me. So we're going to have a prayer for healing right now. Is that okay? And can I just tell you something? We see a lot of remarkable signs and wonders. More and more people are seeing them around the world. Used to be in the third world, but now they're happening here in Australia. And just recently, I had a lady come up to me at the end of a two-day event in the middle of New South Wales, and she said, "Would you pray for my hearing?" She said, and then she told me all the bad news. She said, "On my left ear, I was born deaf. I have never heard in my left ear." And she said, "I have 30% hearing in my right ear, but I believe Jesus wants to heal me." And I said, "Amen." She said, "Would you pray?" And I said, "Absolutely." And I had been contending for a greater manifestation of signs and wonders in Australia. Anybody else with me? It's wonderful to hear, to read about people's healing ministries from years ago, decades ago. It's wonderful to hear the stories from other nations, but I want it to happen here. Yeah? So I prayed for her, and guess what happened? Nothing. But that doesn't throw me anymore, because I release my faith. I know what's on me, and I know that it's up to God then to do the rest. Are you hearing me? That's a word for somebody right now who's been discouraged about praying for the sick. I receive a message a week later, and the message goes like this. "Bruce, do you remember me? You prayed for me." And I'm like, "I remember you." She said, "I want to tell you something. 48 hours after you prayed for me, I woke up in the morning, and my left ear," she was 41 years of age. She had never heard from her left in her left ear. It popped open. And she heard. She said, "I have complete healing in my left ear." And then gradually throughout that day, her right ear got more and more healed, to the point now she has perfect hearing in both ears. And I said, "Yes, Lord." Now, I'm giving you that testimony not to impress you. I'm giving you that testimony because it's the spirit of prophecy for what's going to happen here today. So if you want healing in your body, and I felt God say there are people here, it's not just who need physical healing, there are people here this morning, you're a little bit sick in your soul, you're a little bit discouraged today. And I feel like discouragement's going to get broken off people this morning as well. So if you have anything wrong with your body, that must mean nearly all of us, I want you to either come forward or stand up. Come forward if you can. Be bold. Take a step of faith. Come forward. So they said, "We're having the altar, and I need you." Come here, Joel. I'm going to pray for you first. Cheryl, Dan, I need you. Anybody else that actually ministers in this house and has a gift of healing on them, and your hands are burning right now, because we're going to lay hands on everyone. Is that okay? Are we going to, is everybody, can you be patient? Everybody else who's wealthy and healthy and whole? Can everybody else be patient? Is that okay? Okay. And then, Reverend, would you also, then after we pray for you, would you turn? Both of you, would you turn and start praying for people too? That would be a great honor to minister with you. Thank you. So, Father, we just thank you. First, I'm just going to pray for my brother here. Lord, I just thank you that divine health is our inheritance. Father, come on, say it with me. I refuse to be sick. I align myself with heaven. And through the blood of Jesus and his stripes, I am healed. So, Father, right now we ask that you would just release your healing virtue in this place, that your presence is here to heal the sick. in Jesus' name. And we say right now, let faith rise. There's a lot of people. Just go quickly, guys. Lord, I know some people, you need to fall over. Don't. Right in the name of Jesus. We release healing anointing. There's no music. There's no music. Lord, we release healing glory. Body, soul, and spirit. Hey, 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 hey. He's gone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. More. Release your glory, Lord. Just go quickly, everybody. Healing. Anybody else who wants to pray for the sick, just do it. Shakabaraba. You're feeling heat in your hands? Go and lay hands on someone. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed. I heard the Lord say He is taking over that which has been bound for a long time. That's the condition. Some of you have had conditions for a long time. We say broken today. We release faith for breakthrough today in Jesus' name. Breakthrough today in Jesus' name. Healing, healing, health, health, health. A, divine health. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Oh, God's doing overhauls today. Yeah, 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 yeah. Restoration, restoration. We release healing, healing, healing into bodies and minds and emotions in Jesus' name. Everything out of order, come into order now. Now, now, now. Come on, signs and wonders. Extend to everybody else who doesn't need prayer. Just agree with me. Hey, hey. We release healing, 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 healing in the name of Jesus. Break out the norm. Break the norm. Break open. Break off. Lord, break out your healing anointing right now. I break every spirit of infirmity right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Healing, 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 healing. Others, come on. I want others now to gather around those that are standing up. In Jesus' name. You've got the healing anointing too. Shokopahandai. Come on, others of you, come and stand with these ones. Sekaram, we release the healing power of God in the name of Jesus. Healing, healing release, excuse me. Healing release, thank you. God bless you. Excuse me. We say, be healed in Jesus' name. We break off you every spirit of infirmity. And every generational spirit of infirmity, we break now. And we release healing, body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. We thank you for the breaker anointing that you're breaking out in this place. Break out in people's bodies. Break out in people's bodies in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If you haven't had someone put their hand on you, lift your hand real quick. Shukur prabahakai. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. More, Lord. Come on. Come on, say it with me. I'm expectant. I'm expectant. I'm expectant to receive my healing. In the name of Jesus. Release. Show. Show. Did you get prayed for? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just release. Complete healing now. Lord, I just say, let it break out. Let it break out. Let it break out. Shukuraba. I hear the Lord saying, you're not only getting a breakthrough, He's breaking out in you and through you in Jesus' name. We just break off you all other things now. Shukuraba handa. Thank you, Father. Healing. Release. Come on, agree with me, guys. If you're not done, agree with me. We release healing power. Healing power. Oh, we expect miracles. Miracles. Signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Has everyone been prayed for? Shakabaraba. Come on, let's give God the glory. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Whee! That's an Aussie yell. Anybody from the bush? It wasn't a very good Kiwi, was it? Yeah, there we go. What a mob of rabble rousers for Jesus. I'm a tad cheeky, in case you're wondering, but God loves me anyway. Isn't that good? Tell the person beside you He loves you too. Now, we're going to do a decree. You know, the book of Job says you decree a thing. It's Job 22:28, decree a thing, it shall be established. One of the things the Lord has shown me this week is that there are a lot of people who are afraid right now of what's going on, especially in our nation with the whole terrorism thing. But even I'm coming across Christians who are reacting in not a very Christian way. And so I thought we should just take care of business this morning. Is that cool? So we're going to decree Psalm 46. Some of you know this off by heart. I want you to stand up. Why do you need to stand up? Because that's your decree position. Come on. We mean business today, yeah? Come on. You with me? Now, you might know the scripture off by heart, but I want you not just to know it, I want you to decree it today, okay? So we're speaking this not only over our own life, but our families, yes? All right, as for me and my extended household, we will serve the Lord, amen? Yeah? But also your sphere of influence, yes? Okay, you ready? Let's read it, okay? If you can keep up with, I'll keep up with you. We'll just do it slowly. You ready? Come on, with authority. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Next slide. No. That's another one. Just down a page. Therefore, we will not fear. Come on, say it again. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, come on, say it with me. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen? Amen? Amen. God bless you. Thank you. That is your gospel for the day. It's wonderful to have God's word in our mouths. But most of all, we need to not only say it, we need to decree it with authority. And things move. And I talk a lot about decrees. In fact, I bought some resources. They're outside there. And there are two lots of decree books out there, if you're interested, by Patricia King. There's one left of a lady called Katie Souza. And I just would encourage you to decree. My wife and I have it on my, I have my decrees on my phone, in the back of my Bible. I have them on my computer. I have them in, written down. And wherever I go, I try to decree every day because I know decrees change things. Amen. All right. I'll just settle down a little bit now. It's really nice to be with you. Can I just say, I know Pastor Ginny would like me to tell you. I was talking to her. We were talking just before the church services. This is an ad for Flame Tree. And she was telling us that you've just opened an op shop. Is that right? Well, we pastored a church on the Gold Coast for 18 years. And about 15 years into it, and we had a street-level type ministry. We fed the poor. Up to 250 to 300 people a day would get fed. We had a lot of people come to Christ through our street programs, our outreach programs, our prison programs. Then I had a dear lady come to me. She was probably early 70s and said, Pastor Bruce, you have a spare room in the back of the church that's facing out onto the street, and we were in downtown Southport. She said, would you mind, if is this full of rubbish, junk, storeroom? Can I clear it out? And can we start an op shop? And I said, will it cost the church any money? I wasn't very full of faith, was I? Will it involve any work from us? And she said, no. It wasn't a very spiritual response, was it? And I said, go right ahead. And she said, oh, I just organized a few other women. And so that's what happened. And then they started asking for donations. And of course, the people that would man the shop had time. But I also discovered very quickly they were all evangelists. And we had more people come to Christ those following 3 years through that op shop than any other outreach that we had ever done in nearly 20 years of ministry. So Ginny said to me, Bruce, tell them. She said, we need help. But I want to say to you, here's an opportunity, no matter how old you are. If you have some time, I want to tell you, if you have some time to sit and talk and listen, you'll win people to Christ through that op shop. Amen? Yes. Okay, good promotion. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Well, talking about promotions, I have three books that I've written that are out there as well, and maybe I'll refer to them later. I think that they're pretty good. It takes effort to write. If you've never written something, I would encourage you to do it if God's stirring your heart. But it needs to be the Lord. Amen? It really does. Just recently, it's interesting, Marley's been in the news overnight, or yesterday. Was in Marley just 3 months ago with Cheryl and Patricia King. And on our way into Marley, something that has happened to me that's never happened to me before flying. It looked like our plane was going to crash. We were in a probably a 20-seater turboprop plane. You know, the ones you look out the window and the props are just there beside you like that. Well, we were down the back of the plane. And we went through a storm that I've never, ever experienced anything like it before. I discovered afterwards the pilot said, in 30 years of flying, this is what he announced, I have never encountered a storm like that. And so we go through this storm, and they're serving the food, and all of a sudden the announcement comes on, you know, ladies and gentlemen, put your seatbelts on, and we're going to suspend the food service right now. And he told the staff, the host and hostesses to sit down, and then all hell broke loose. We got hit by lightning. The plane started to do this. Started to shake. That's how we were. You see my jowls? And then, I've heard of this happening in planes, we suddenly fell about 500 meters. Like that. And people started to scream, yelling out, God have mercy! I'm serious. And then something else happened. It did it again. Like that. Then we're getting hit by light and the plane's going. The overhead lockers are opening. Things are falling out. I turn around. We're towards the back. And here's he was a young man, actually. He's not a hostess. What do they call him? A steward. He had his head in his, and he was shaking like this. Patricia King was up the front of the plane, and she told us afterwards that they were carrying the engineer with them. We were doing the milk run. You know what that is? You stop many times to get somewhere. And that needed to be refueled every time. And so they had their own engineer with them. And that happened. She did this for a job, this lady, every day. And she was crossing herself and crying, sobbing. And then something else happened. We fell again the third time. And people are screaming. And we had Muslims around us, and they were the worst, actually. I'm serious. I'm mocking them. They were. And if you ever thought that there was that all religions are the same, that's not the truth. And they were in trouble. And I just looked at Cheryl, and Cheryl looked at me, and I thought, what am I going to do? And I thought, I know, I'm going to preach the gospel. So I yelled out. I mean, it was noisy. People were sobbing. Everybody listen to me! You're not going to die because we're on the plane and we love Jesus. But you need to give your life to Jesus right now. I said, this is what you have to do. Say this after me. Jesus, forgive me for my sin. And I led a sinner's prayer. I don't know how many people prayed it, but I was just going for it. And then I said, amen. I said, now you're fine. And the plane was still going like this, and then bang, and hitting by lightning. And I mean, it was going sideways, it was going down, it was going up. And I mean, people were throwing up. I mean, it was unpleasant. And I don't know, this is about 15 minutes into it now. I looked at Cheryl and I thought, I don't know why you think of this. I thought, first of all, let's get everybody saved. That's a good thing to think, isn't it? And then the second thing I thought was, oh, maybe we should speak to the storm. I'm a son of God. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. I know who I am. You know, in Luke 17:21, it says, "Do not fear, little flock." He's talking to us, the disciples. "It's my good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom." Now, I know I've been here before, and I've probably said this here before. I say it everywhere I go. But if we truly believe what Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." That word power is actually a Greek word, dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. Okay? So if you receive the Holy Spirit, you have dynamite inside you. The trouble is most Christians don't believe it. Come on, I want you to tell the person beside you, "Watch out, I'm dangerous." Go on. "I'm dangerous. I'm dangerous, man. Be careful." "These signs shall follow those who believe." I've met a lot of unbelieving believers. We say we believe, but you will find out what's inside you when all hell starts breaking loose around you. I was quite encouraged by what was coming out of me. Hallelujah. I said to Cheryl, "Maybe we should speak to the storm." She said, "That's a good idea." And, you know, as we start to do it, it gets worse, of course, and starts to shake again. More lightning strikes. I mean, you couldn't see anything. It was raining. It was hairy. And we said, "In the name of Jesus, we speak to the storm. We say, peace, be still." And we prayed in tongues, and we said it over and over again. And about, I always say, don't spoil a good story for the want of a little imagination. So how long did it take? About 10 seconds. Thank you, sweetheart. 10 seconds after. So by this stage, it's 15 minutes. I mean, this was dramatic, okay? So I fly a lot. I had never experienced anything like this ever before. And 10 seconds later, we dropped again, and we dropped right out of the storm into blue sky. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not telling you that to impress you. The guy, the captain got on the, he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, ladies and gentlemen." And that's when he set out of 30 years of flying. As we were getting off the plane, finally, in Bamako, where they had the terrorism strike yesterday, he was standing, this man was an African, a black African. He looked white. I'm not trying to be unkind. He was just shaking his head. Well, I'm telling the truth, aren't I? He was just shaking his head. "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." He's shaking everybody's head. "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." 30 years of flying, never experienced anything like it. But I want to tell you, how you see yourself is how you act. And I want to share with you in the brief amount of time that I have left this morning about this new era that we're in right now. We need to understand that things just haven't changed politically around the world. Things just haven't changed. Yes, they're saying that the refugee crisis in Europe right now is the worst since the Second World War. That's 70 years. Okay? But not only has things changed politically in nations, even this nation, we don't seem to be able to keep a prime minister, do we? There's all this change that's happening all the time. And in the body of Christ, there's a lot of change happening as well. I don't know if you've noticed. And for years, we've been saying, "Oh, it's a new season. It's a new season." And the beginning of the year, I heard the Lord say, "Stop saying it's a new season. It's actually a new era." So we're going to have it up on the screen. I just did a little bit of work on what is a new era or it looks like. So can we read this together? "An extended period of time usually characterized by a distinctive development or a memorable series of events." So the Reformation in church history was a new era. Okay? In the 60s, in the Western culture, it wasn't a positive new era, but it was a new era. I'm still running into people in their 70s and 80s today dressed like hippies. You know, something shifted culturally. Can we go on? Another word for era is epoch. Everyone say epoch. It's not a word we use very much in our language, is it? It's a long period of time, especially one in which there are new developments and great change. Come on, say it with me, great change. We're in the beginning of a period of history and it's happening right now. It's happening right now. Not only prophetically and biblically, but I want to tell you, I run into pastors all the time. People say to me, what do you do? And I say, well, I come alongside people. That's a simple explanation. I hang out with a lot of leaders. I spend time with them. Yes, we speak at conferences. Yes, we go and minister. Yes, we go and take teams overseas. We equip. We have equipping events. But one of the things that I like to do is to spend time, like we did with Joel and Ginny yesterday, spend 2 hours with leaders and hear their hearts. These guys didn't say that, but wherever I go, not only in Australia, but everywhere else around the world, I hear pastors saying, what we used to do before doesn't work anymore. A lot of them are discouraged, not all of them. A lot of them are discouraged because society's changed. I mean, Sunday used to be the day, you're in church, God bless you, but it used to be the day that Christians went to church. It's not anymore. It's one of the things Christians do. You know, I meet very few Christians who read the Word of God anymore, as in the written Word of God. People have it on their phones, people listening to podcasts and reading stuff on Facebook. Can I just, this is an aside, it's probably my own personal bias, but there's nothing like the Word of God. I mean, God's Word is a sword. It washes you. You know, people say to me, often used to say to me in our street church, oh, you, all you Christians are brainwashed. And I say, yeah, absolutely right. My man, my brains were sick. They needed a good wash. And for some reason, especially during our early church days, if something would happen early in the morning and I wouldn't get the time with God that I'd want to, and my wife would say to me, would you just go and spend time in God's Word? Because I was being a pain in the neck. Any wives relate to what I'm saying? Because she knew that God's words would wash my mind. Okay, that's an aside. So things have changed. Am I telling the truth? I think I'm telling the truth today. There's so much change right now. Can I tell you? You can't talk about the old anymore. The old's gone. It's just changed. Society's changed. Church life's changed. Australian culture's changed. The old's gone, the new's come. Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians, didn't he? Chapter 5. So an epoch typically is a long period of time. And I believe that's what we've stepped into. Okay, next slide, please. So this new era, typically when it begins to happen, it unfolds around us. And we can't see it initially. It's very hard to notice change when it's happening around you. Have you ever had someone see you that you haven't seen them for a long time and they say, oh wow, you've changed? Because they haven't been with you day by day and seen the progressive change. And typically when change happens, it's like this, because we're in the midst of it. We're in the midst of it. You know, Peter Wagner says this for the church. If we can have the next slide, please. It's like the Reformation. It's a time of significant change right now. And the next slide. He talks about this new apostolic reformation, and he says it's the most radical change in doing church since the Protestant Reformation. That's quite a statement. You know, where people moving from a pastor model where we've gone, you know, and Mark Tubbs and others have been here and done seminars here, I know. You know, we're supposed to have a five-fingered hand, a five-fold ministry, but we call everybody pastor. So really we have a one-fingered hand. Now, I just stopped calling people pastor now. I call them who they are, because it's time for each one of us to begin to emerge in the anointing that God has for us. Don't look to this man to do ministry for you. You are the ones who are the ministers. Are you hearing me today? You know, one of the things I love about this ministry here, and also Dan with the full of school, what's it called? Full of life? Full of life? You have incredible opportunity right now to be equipped in this. Okay? So there's a radical change that's happening, and it's come whether we like it or not. Coming, ready or not. Now, we can do a couple of things. You know, we can decide we don't like the change, but then we become like Jesus talked about in Mark 2, 21 to 22. And he talked about what? The fact that you can't pour new wine into old wineskins. If we can have the next slide, thanks. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'll come back to that one. Is Mark 2 there? Thank you. Actually, that's a misquote. That's 21, that's a typo. 21 to 22. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. The last thing we want to do is tear the body of Christ. God loves his church. So I'm not talking about smoke machines in church, okay? We're not talking about change. Are you hearing me? Or loud music. I'm talking about being able to contain the presence of God when it comes. And then he says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Everyone say old wineskins? Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into what? Correct. It's interesting. Wherever I go in the world, literally, I hear leaders talking about this. And I always ask them when I get a chance, I say, who have you been reading? Who have you been listening to? And they'll go, no one. Because the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me about this. And the Bible says, for him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You know, the sons of Issachar, the tribe, the Bible tells us they discern the times. And we have to be people who discern the times. Interestingly, Issachar camped with Judah. Did you know that? Outside the entrance to the presence of God. So there was always a new sound. When God moves by his Spirit, there's always a release of new worship. If you just look at church history, you can see that. Every time God moves, there's a new sound comes forth. As part of one of the signs that you're in something new. And then one of the things that Cheryl says, that what we need is not only to have a new sound, but to understand that what God's saying, what it does is it breaks old cycles in us. It's not just the new worship that breaks the old cycles. It's the revelation of heaven that breaks the old cycles. Because you just don't need a new wineskin. You need a new mind skin. Everyone say, I've got to change the way I think. You say, is this in the Bible? Yeah, why don't you look in Isaiah chapter 43. Some of you know this off by heart. Verse 18. Isaiah 43, 18. Anybody tell me what it says apart from Pastor Gerald? Who's 19. Verse 18 says, forget the former things. Come on, Sat, tell the person beside you, you've got to do some forgetting of the old ways. Do not dwell on the past. Oh, I remember when. Back in 2015, everyone used to dance up the front at Flame Tree. Gee, they were the good old days. Isaiah 43, 18 says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Everyone say, see. Verse 19 says, see. King James says, behold. Behold means see. Look. Look. See. I am doing a new thing. And I tell you, if it's a new day, then we need a new way for the new day. Okay? You say, yeah, a new thing's coming. Nuh-uh. It goes on to say what? Now. You're on, say it with me. Now. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? You say, oh, I'm looking, I can't see it. Well, you're not looking with spiritual eyes. I've stopped saying revival's coming. I've just changed the way I see. And because I've changed the way I see, I find the revival breaks out now wherever I go. Are you hearing me now? This is very important. It says, do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? Now, I've been around a while. Not as around as some of you have been. I've been in ministry a while, since the early 80s. And way back in the late 70s, you know, some of you weren't alive then. It was the height of what we call the charismatic renewal around the world. Anybody here then? Some people were alive then. You Christians then? And I remember a Methodist church in my town. It wasn't our church. It was another town. And every morning, five men would gather together and pray for revival. And they were looking for a Wesleyan revival. They were looking for a holiness revival. They were looking. They weren't interested in Pentecost. They were interested in God coming the way God came for Finney and others, where the holiness of God would fall in a place and people would cry out. People in the street walking past would fall down and cry out. And you can read all about that the awakenings, the great awakenings that took place in places like England and also America. But all around them, they got a new pastor in this Methodist church, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, people started to get healed, and people started to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and people started to get saved. But because, in fact, not only did they start getting saved, it started to grow. So this empty Methodist church in the inner city started to get full. So much so that they had to knock out a wall. They actually ended up with an L-shaped church. They had to move the altar rail. And these guys, all this was happening around them, but they were not happy because they could not perceive. The very thing they were praying for was happening in front of them, but they couldn't see it. Because they had a picture of what revival looked like, but can I tell you, God is not subject to our pictures from the past. Are you hearing me now? Well, God walked this way and worked this way once. He doesn't necessarily work that way now or in the future. And when the pastor moved the organ, they left the church. Years, 5 years, they'd been praying for revival, and when God sent it, because it didn't come in the form they expected, they couldn't see it and they missed it. You say, wow, that's sad. It happens today. It has happened all through church history. It happened to Martin Luther. It happened to John Wesley. It happened to a man called William Seymour over 100 years ago in a place called Azusa Street. Locked out of the, I've been there, First Church of the Nazarene in Los Angeles. It's empty today, nearly. They locked out the man who bought revival, and he moved to a street called Bonnie Bray Street to a person's house. And you can still go to that house today, and there's still a revival well there, and all heaven broke loose. But they couldn't see it. So God is saying today to us, see, everyone say, see, I'm doing a new thing. When does it spring up? No, it's not coming. Stop saying revival's coming. Come on, we've got to start saying it's now. You say, well, brother, I can't see it. Yeah, that's right, because you're looking with the wrong eyes. Well, you're in deception. No, I'm not. I just see differently to you. Because I've discovered that my seeing affects my talking, and then my talking also affects my expectation, my thinking, my seeing, my talking, and things change to what I see and I talk. It says, now it springs up. Everyone say, now. Now it springs up. Now my time's nearly done, so you're going to get a very quick. You say, is this all in the Bible? Absolutely. It's Ephesians chapter 1. 17 through 23 says, first of all, we've got to start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. Well, how does God see us? Well, he sees us through the finished work of the cross. Did you know that? That when Jesus looks at you, when you pray about what's lacking, God does not know what you're talking about. Because when God looks at you, he sees you through the cross. And he doesn't see what's missing. He doesn't see what's broken. He sees you in the shalom of God. He sees you perfect in every way. Are you hearing me now? We've got to change the way we see ourselves. Nothing missing, nothing broken, complete. And Ephesians 1, 17 through 23, I don't have time to read it, but it says where Jesus is seated. It says that he's seated on the right hand of the Father, and it says that everything is under his feet, including all principalities and powers. I want to tell you, yes, God is concerned what's going on in the world right now, but he is not afraid. The Bible says everything is under his feet. You'll say, well, that's good news. Well, the sequel is Ephesians 2, verse 6. I will read this to you. And it says, and God raised us up. Say, that's me. With Christ and seated us with him. Come on, say, with him. In the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's where he has positioned you. That's where you belong. And if you're always looking up at the from the bottom of the mountain at your problem, can I tell you, you don't have God's seeing perspective. Because he wants you to sit with him in heaven. Has anybody ever climbed a mountain or even coming into a city on a plane and you look out the window and you see the cars and they look about this big going along? You see people and they're like this. I want to tell you, this stuff works. When you start seeing the way God sees your life and your circumstances, everything shifts. It takes a bit of doing. I've trained myself now. After about a year of this, it actually works. I live this way now. I don't look at what's lacking. I look at what God's done and who He is. And He wants us to live this way. He wants us to live this way. I want to tell you, God doesn't make junk. Isn't that good news? Everything God makes is perfect. Yet when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we rarely see what's perfect. If we're really honest, okay? Now, we have four daughters. They're all adults now. But when we built our home, we had a Christian builder, and he said, you have four daughters. They're all going to be teenagers soon. You need a big bathroom and a big mirror. And we have a double sink bathroom with this mirror that's probably 2 meters long. Probably bigger than 2 meters, actually. It's probably 2.5 meters long. And it's big, so all four of them could line up. And Mama here was pretty smart because she knew that young girls and mirrors and image don't always create positive things. So she put a little sign up on the mirror that said, for every minute that you look into this mirror, you need to look into God's word and what He says about you. Very wise, huh? All my kids, pastors' kids, they all love Jesus, never backslidden. You say, you're lucky. Luck's got nothing to do with it. It's all to do with this woman of God. And prayers work. That's no condemnation. I just want to tell you, if you train up a child the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. Colossians 2:10, for in Him, everyone say, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All these scriptures are on the slides somewhere. I'm sorry. I'm going quickly. For you are complete in Him. Say, come on, I'm complete in Him. He says it's finished. When He said on the cross, it is finished, yeah, you are perfect in Him. It just depends on how you see yourself. Can we have this slide? Can we just bop down to where it says sons and daughters and royalty? Can you just keep going? No, go back. Sorry. Is it there? No, further down. I've been very diligent with all of this. They're the scriptures. Should be the next one. There we go. All right, keep going. All right, so we might just come back to that. I didn't have this. It's not up here. I want you to say it with me, though. Okay? No, can we just go back? I'm not quite there yet. You're telling all the good stuff before you get there. Just go back. Go back. Okay, there we go. Junk. There we go. Thank you. I'm all over the place. 4 minutes. I'm not subject to what I see. Hallelujah. Come, I want you to say this with me. He sees me as His son or His daughter. He sees me as His king and priest. He sees me as holy. As righteous. He sees me as a lion that's bold. I'm as bold as a lion. Now, whether you're a man, say man, a woman, I am a man of faith, a woman of faith. Come on. He sees me in His fullness. He sees me full of His power. He sees me in the completeness of my destiny. So our challenge is to start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. You know, I had a young man come up to me in Townsville a little while ago, and he was rippling with muscles. I discovered afterwards he was the head of CrossFit in the whole of North Queensland. If you don't know what that is, it's an exercise phenomenon, really. A very wealthy, successful young man, and he had his head down like this, and I could tell he was teary, but he didn't like that because he was a man's man. Wonderful, beautiful wife, beautiful children. And he said, because I asked the question, how do you see yourself? And he said, you asked this question, how do I see myself? Remember, successful young man, everything going for him. And he used a swear word. He said, I see myself as. He said, all my life growing up, my mother, my father told me I was good for nothing. I was nothing more than a piece of. My friends at school, they told me, you're nothing more than He said, you ask me how I see myself? This guy's a Christian. He said, I'm nothing more than. And I said to him, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You've heard what God's word says to you and said to you today. You need to make a decision, a choice right now. Are you willing to take a step out of that lie and into how God sees you? If we can go through one more slide, I think. Thank you. Keep going. Numbers 13, you can read that the way. Here we go. We've got to start. We start acting the way we see ourselves. You know, you say, Bruce, how did you get up and say the stuff you did in that plane? I didn't even think twice. Because I've changed the way I see. What I find is now I act differently because of my seeing. Does this make sense? Come on, I want you to say this with me. I'm a fine-tuned instrument of faith. I'm a sharp, piercing sword. Do you say, you really believe this? Yep. Mm-hmm. My words pierce. That's already done it this morning. Come on, I'm a battle axe of transformation. You just call me a battle axe? Yeah, I did. Come on, I'm a potent force of love. I am full of faith and power. That's how God sees you. That's how God sees you. Praise God. And once you start speaking this way and seeing yourself this way, you'll start acting this way. Hallelujah. My time's gone. I want you to stand with me. Can we have the choices now? Here we go. I have three questions in closing this morning. Just close your eyes for a moment. I want you to be really honest with yourself. I just don't want you to hyperventilate faith right now. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I just want you to close your eyes and be really honest with yourself right now. And the question is, how do you see yourself today? Just take a moment. I'm not beating up on anybody. I want to help you today. Second question, just keep your eyes closed, please. How does God see you? And my third question, is there any difference between your first and second answer? Just with your eyes closed. I want to encourage you to make a choice this morning. To only believe what he sees. Because what you see is what you'll become. Make a decision right now. You see yourself as restored. See yourself as blessed. See yourself as healed and healthy. See yourself full of authority and power and the kingdom of God. See yourself full of faith and victory, fulfilling God's destiny. Oh, yes, but no. No, it starts now. Well, I just need to change jobs. I need this. I need to get married. No. Come on. Just make a decision. It starts now. See yourself living with a new wineskin, a new way of thinking in this new era. I want you to start to say it now. Whatever you see, come on, start to see and say. Just speak it out loud. Speak out what you see. In the name of Jesus. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. No more praying for what's lacking, okay? Start pulling heaven into your circumstance. Do that right now. We have the authority, the keys of the kingdom of heaven is to loose heaven onto earth. Amen? So we know how to bind. All these Christians know how to bind demons. Let's just loose heaven right now. Come on. We loose heaven. We pull heaven. We pull heaven into our circumstances now. And we see ourselves as complete. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. Help us to open our eyes this morning to see the way you see. Help us to see ourselves seated with Jesus in heavenly places today. With all things, or say all things, under my feet. Lord, no longer under, but now over in the name of Jesus. And Father, we choose to see ourselves and then others. Come and say others. And life the way you see. And if you want to do this, if you want to step into this new era, I'm going to ask you to physically take a step forward. I'm not having an altar call. I just want you to take a step forward. Step into the right way of seeing right now as an act of faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.
No going back. Taking that step forward, we just seal it now in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord God, that where our actions precede our faith, Lord, that you would make up the lack, that your grace, Lord God, would prevent us from turning away, from turning around, or from retreating, Father God, but now fully further up and further into you, mighty God, your grace upon this house and every individual, every circumstance that we are given responsibility for and which we will influence. Let it be done in your name, mighty God. Life, that life would flow undiluted in Jesus' name. Cedar, come here.
Can I share a picture that I had while Bruce was talking? So I had this picture of, I think it was the first series in Narnia, and it's the battlefield. So they're having, so it's like the enemy is right in front of us, and then like there's us here, and what's happening is we're just running out with boldness to the enemy, and we're taking that first step forward, and it was like we're angry, and then the people at the back had their arrows and they were shooting, so they were shooting arrows, and what was happening was as we were running, the arrows were then hitting the enemy, and I was like, what are the arrows, God? And he's like, they're angels of fire. So there's like this bow and arrow at the back, and there's this angel just going for it. And before we even attack with our spiritual weapons that we have, the enemy is already doing it all for us. So by the time you get there, there's nothing. They're all defeated because God's done it for us. All we have to do is just take that step out with courage.
Good on us, Peter. Come on. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Bold as lions. Praise God. Listen, everyone, just appreciate Bruce and Cheryl one more time this morning. Thank you so much, Bruce. Thank you, Cheryl. Really love you. Really appreciate it. Woo. And tonight, Sam Little's going to share from his heart. So it should be good tonight, guys. So come along again tonight at 6 o'clock, and let's get in the place of grace again. Have a wonderful afternoon. God bless you all.